Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. RunCatalina.com, the VeloFix, the coolest mobile bike shop around, ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, our Challenged Athletes Foundation, that's DonateCAF.org. This past year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game alive through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, speaking of Challenged Athletes Foundation, a gentleman who we met a few years ago, and he, in his hand cycle and racing chair, just finished Ironman Florida and actually went faster than he did in his first able-bodied Ironman at Ironman Wisconsin back in the day. His name is Mr. Glenn Hartrick. Double N, how the heck you doing?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you doing?
I am spectacular. You know what? Especially watching last weekend and being able to see what you were doing, I could tell you were calculated. You knew exactly what was going on. Your swim time, your bike time. I think 13:11 overall. You took your time in transition, making sure you got everything, you know, all the fluid, everything you needed. Take us through the day. Did it go according to plan?
I mean, the day definitely went according to plan. The outcome was, it definitely exceeded my expectations. You know, when I heard, you know, the Ironman announcer say, you know, Glenn Hartrick, you are an Ironman once again, with, you know, the emphatic exclamation on once again, I mean, it was one of the best feelings, the best moments, one of the best days of my entire life. You know, when I had my accident back in 2014, training for an Ironman, you know, the fact that I realized real quickly that, hey, I gotta pick myself up, I gotta live life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror, and figure out what's next. You know, I'm gonna embrace this challenge that I have, and I'm gonna set new goals, and I'm gonna have new opportunities, and I'm gonna absolutely crush them. But as you just mentioned, I mean, it actually gives me chills just thinking about it and hearing it out loud and actually saying it out loud that I bettered my time from when I was an able-bodied athlete for my first Ironman is just incredible. And I think it helps show to myself and others that, you know, anything is possible, right? That's the slogan of Ironman and kind of my mantra, kind of overcoming the disability. But, you know, things seem daunting at first, but
sure,
like once you get into them and after when you're doing it, when you're in the moment and after you do it, you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. I can do this and I love it. And you know what? The whole day, the whole weekend, you know, the whole, just leading up to it, you know, over the last, you know, few months especially, but, you know, since the accident, you know, it's been fun. And that's why we do this. We do this because we love the sport. We get into it for a reason. Initially, it was to join a group or to lose some weight or push ourselves and set goals. But we get into it for a reason. And you know what? And when you get into it for the right reasons and it's a lifestyle and you're part of a community, right, you love what you do. And, you know, I'm out there for 13 hours and 11 minutes, and it was some of the best 13 hours and 11 minutes of my entire life. And, you know, everything went pretty close to plan. That's your general question. But, I mean, it went as you know, calculated as I could have been, and it helps that, you know, yeah, I've never done an Ironman in a hand cycle before, or I've never even pushed, you know, 26 miles in a racing chair.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I've put in a lot of time, I've put in a lot of effort, but I've done an Ironman before. So I knew the mentality that you need going into these things, you know, and, you know, you have to compartmentalize, you got to break it down, you got to take those small victories and leverage that and kind of work with kind of the history that you've had, the successes you've had, and use that. And if you use that momentum, then it sets you up for a pretty special day, which is what I ended up having down in Florida.
So how is it different? And how is it the same in terms of you did a lot of triathlons as an able-bodied guy before you were injured in June of 2014. How was this experience like another Ironman, and how was it different?
I mean, it was more the same than different. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, being back there, getting kicked and elbowed in the swim just like before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody cared, right? They're not going,
no,
oh, the poor guy
not.
Who can't move his leg. We don't care.
We don't care. Absolutely not. So, you know, on the bike and on the run, obviously they see me in a hand cycle and in a racing chair. But, you know, when you start out on the swim and, you know, it's 6:35 down there when we started, I mean, it's pretty dark. I mean,
right.
First of all, Ironman Florida, Panama City Beach, they put on an incredible race. The race director, I mean, it's an incredible setting. I mean, you know, it blew all my expectations from, you know, the water and just the entire race course, especially for someone, you know, that's a challenged athlete. But, you know, the swim, I mean, it's just beautiful blue water. You see at the bottom, you fish, and there's stingrays, and there's dolphins, and, you know, so we're starting at 6:35, and, you know, and myself and another challenged athlete goes off first, along with some of the executive guys. And, I mean, it's dark, and, you know, and I was kind of debating back and forth where, you know, do I wear tinted goggles? Do I not wear tinted goggles? The sun's going to come up. It's going to blind me. So I went with the tinted goggles, but, I mean, I'm telling you, for the first 10 to 15 minutes, I couldn't see a thing.
It was dark. You know, yeah.
It was dark. I mean, I get to the first buoy, and I'm having to, like, stop a couple times, and they're fogging up, and I take them off, and, like, I'm looking around, make sure I'm going the right way, because the age groupers hadn't started yet, because they started 5 minutes before us, so... or after us, rather. So I didn't have a group of swimmers to really swim with. So when I'm looking around the second time, one of the kayakers said, hey, do you need some help? Do we need to take you back to shore? And I'm like, you have no idea who you're talking to. So I'm like, we're good. But, you know, so then, you know, a few minutes passed, and like, all the age groupers start as the time trial starts. So then until I got to the turn buoy, I mean, I really couldn't see a thing. So I'm just thinking, you know what, I'm just going to swim with the masses and just let's focus on that. Let's relax. Let's get in the groove. And, you know, so sure enough, when I got to the turn buoy, you know, I could start seeing a little bit, and then I could work on my siding, which was fine. I do the first loop, and, you know, and I was better. My time was better than what I had expected, and it was a two-loop course. So second loop, you know, I had one of my buddies that came out, grabbed my chip, ran across the timing mat, and came back and put it on. My second loop, I actually negative-footed the swim, which was a
wow.
first for me,
yeah.
And I was very, very pleased with my swim time, to where when I get out of the water, we get into transition. I'm like, man, there sure are a lot of bikes left in transition. This is a good feeling. This is going to be a great day. And, you know, if any of the, you know, going in, you know, I was pretty confident, you know, definitely about the bike and about the run and about the swim. I mean, it's in the Gulf of Mexico. So, you know, I mean, they're cutoffs, right? And not that I was worried, but, you know, I haven't swam outdoors, and especially in salt water for 2.4 miles. And, you know, so once I, you know, got out of the swim, and, you know, I knew it was going to be the perfect day, and it set me up, you know, pretty well. Unfortunately, the other challenged athlete didn't make it out of the swim cutoff, you know, but I got out of the swim, and the swim was just like the same swim I had in my five previous Ironmans as an able-bodied athlete. And then I get out of transition, get onto the bike course, and, you know, the course suited me really well. You know, in the hand cycles, when you're trying to climb hills and mountains, it's the earth center of gravity makes it pretty tough. But, you know, it was very, very flat, about 1,000 feet of elevation, and it had some gentle rollers. But, you know, for 112 miles, I averaged, you know, like low 16 miles per hour.
Sweet.
You know, I expected maybe a little bit more, but the winds picked up, you know, toward the second half. But, you know, being out there for 7 hours, and, you know, talk about, you know, being calculated. I mean, I have a power meter on my bike, just like I did, you know, before. And,
yep.
You know, we talked to coach, and we're talking about, all right, these are the zones that I want to stay in. And, you know, we really focused on, obviously, nutrition is such a big part of our sport.
It is.
You know, how often, you know, I need to be drinking and eating and aid stations and the bathroom and, like, just the whole thing. And, I mean, it was just very methodical. And, you know, but, you know, then again, I mean, I'm out there for 7 hours, and time just flies by. First of all, when you're trying to, you know, you're drinking and everything, I mean, you're focused on that as well. But, you know, when you're having fun, when you're out in a beautiful part of the country like this, I mean, it's not work. It becomes play. And it's, you know, it was a really, really, really enjoyable bike ride. That's for sure. But, you know, the competitors were great. The other racers, obviously, would cheer us on. And, you know, I got to yell out my fare of on your left, which is always
nice and
encouraging. But, yeah, I mean, the bike course was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So
back in the day, I remember interviewing Carlos Maleda, the five-time hand cycle champion over there. And he said, what's great about being at the start of an Ironman is you're really the same as everybody else, right? You're swimming, you're cycling, you're running. And maybe you're doing the cycling and running a little differently. But he says, I feel so free because as soon as I'm in the water, basically I'm racing and I can relate to everybody in the race. Did you feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm one of 2,500 people that are out here and setting goals and trying to overcome it. And we're all competing together, But yeah, I mean, you know, it was just the same. I mean, I'm racing differently, right? With my arms, I'm not with my legs, but it's all the same. The second that gun goes off, we all have one goal, and it's to be the best we absolutely can be and get across that finish line as fast as possible. And you know, that's what we were there for, and we were pretty successful in doing that. Absolutely.
So back when you were injured in June 2014, you had done, I'm guessing, I think over, you'd done, 100 triathlons? You'd done a lot of different events over the years, marathons, bike rides, all the rest of that.
Yep.
When you were injured, you were on your bike, a car made an illegal U-turn, you hit the vehicle and paralyzed. When you first hear that, right, when you first hear that from the doctors, what was your reaction? What was your reaction to begin with?
Well, I didn't believe it, right? I mean, he's telling me I'm paralyzed.
Right.
You know, I definitely didn't believe it. And, of course, you hear stories of people that overcome things and they start walking. And I just assumed that if it's 1/100th of a percentage of people that overcome that, I figured that would be me, right?
Sure.
This is just what I do. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it started setting in and I realized quickly that, well, at least until we get there, then we gotta figure things out and this is what I'm living with. And We're gonna overcome this, and this is what I'm dealt with. But we're gonna embrace it. We're gonna maximize my potential. I mean, I was 4 years ago, and I was 32 years old, and I got a long life to live, and there's a lot of things that I want to do in this life. And you know, if anybody like Carlos Moleta, you know, have proven that, you know, anything's possible. I mean, we can do whatever we set our minds to, and you know, the multi-sport community was absolutely incredible from day one when I was in the hospital. I mean, there was a line of people in the hospital, in my rehab facility, there every single day, checking on me, you know, encouraging me, motivating me. And I think it went both ways as well, right? So I'm encouraging them, they're encouraging me. We're just like we're doing on a race course and in training, right? We're there for each other. And, you know, that's what's so special and unique about this sport is that, you know, we're all for each other. We're competing against each other. But at the end of the day, right, we're pushing each other to be the best that we possibly can be.
So I remember chatting with you a couple of years ago, and we were talking about that you become the when you're in the hospital and this stuff has happened, you become the barometer for everybody around you, for your family and friends, because you're paralyzed. They really can't move on with their lives till they have a sense that you're okay, that you're ready to move on with your life. How long did it take you to realize that and basically make it so that, you know, everybody else can move on? Because it is, when that happens to somebody close to you, it's easy and it's comforting to basically say, I need to be with Glenn 24 hours a day because he needs me.
Right. I mean, I understood that, you know, pretty quickly, just because, you know, when everybody was there, I mean, and a lot of people, I mean, they took it harder, I think, than I did, because, you know, until you're in that situation, you don't know how to react, how to respond, what to say, what to do to either, you know, comfort a friend, a family member, a loved one, just because it's hard to have that really perspective. So, you know, I tried as much as I could be, and this is kind of my persona that I've always had. It's, you know, I'm going to be strong, and I got to be strong for everybody else and myself. And, you know, and there was a lot of that, but then there were some emotional times, you know, where you feel vulnerable. And,
sure,
you know, there are some dark times, but, you know, we definitely fed off each other, and I wanted to prove as much as, you know, to myself but other people that I'm gonna be okay, and you know, and yeah, I'm gonna challenge myself. I'm gonna challenge doctors and nurses and family and friends to help push boundaries and get me back, because especially I knew that getting back into hand cycling, that's when I really found the Challenge Athletes Foundation, and I was awarded a hand cycle through the grant that was really what was going to get me back to being myself. That was what was going to get me back. And instead of the physical therapy, this was my physical therapy. It was my mental therapy as well, getting on my hand cycle and just kind of getting an escape from the world. And helping me functionally to be able to build up strength, to push my wheelchair around New York City where I live. But once I met the Challenged Athletes Foundation, and once I started talking to other people that had been there, that trajectory really took off and really kind of set me onto this path where, I'm going to be an Ironman again, and this is how I'm going to do it. And it's not a wish list. It's not a pie in the sky. Matter of fact, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be an Ironman. This is how I'm going to do it, and then this is going to be the next step. So, it's been an important journey and a big step in the process.
So while you're in the hospital, and you're a tech guy, you're a Strava guy, and I think when people start realizing, okay, Glenn's going to be okay, is when you were absconding with wheelchairs from the hallway of the hospital, going out in the parking lot, and creating a little course out there and setting some Strava records in the parking lot. I think that's when people are like, okay, this is a different dude. This is somebody who is, he's been dealt a really crappy hand, but he's going, I'm going to make the best out of this. Maybe someday there'll be something that allows me to walk again, but I'm not going to wait around. I got to get going here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like Days of Thunder and Tom Cruise and like the hospital scene with the wheelchairs. And once you take, you can't take that competitiveness, out of me. And,
right.
There's too many people, in rehab and facilities that really don't have that avenue or that outlet that they can use. And kind of the experiences of, training for an Ironman. And you just can't go to an Ironman or do a marathon and without having any experience or training. So, it's a long road. It's a process. It's a journey, right? So, when I was in the hospital and rehab, I kind of used that same mentality. And I knew that, let me go out there and how can I measure this, right? So, and also, by background, I'm an accountant. So, very methodical.
Yep.
And, how can I measure my improvement from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, which is the thing I love most about multi-sport is I can go run a 5K today. I can go run a 5K next year. And as long as I'm training, I keep track of it. And you see your improvement month to month, year to year, and that tangible instant feedback, just works wonders. And that's kind of the mentality I used, to your point with Strava, was, all my training history is on Strava, and so, in order to start building up the strength that, I had 9 broken ribs, collapsed lungs, I had blood clots. I had lost a lot of weight.
Right.
A lot of strength, and I was in Ironman shape, so I had just done Ironman Texas 3 weeks prior to my accident, so I was at race weight, and I lost 25 pounds with my mouth wired shut, so I was not in any position to be able to push myself around. But, with Strava, it was interesting because I would go outside, I would go and do these loops, and, each day I would do one more, and I would do one more the next day, and I would measure it, I would track it on Strava, and it was motivating for me, it was motivating for other people, but at the end of the day, it was a tool that really helped me recover, right?
Right, yeah.
And then, it was just such a key piece of my recovery that, I'm grateful for that type of tool, and, wish everybody else could experience the same type of, benefit from something like that.
A lot of times people look at sport, and I don't think they quite recognize the power of sport and have the healing power of sport. Without sport, without this, how tough do you think it would have been for you to deal with the horrific accident?
Extremely tough because I don't know where I would have been because, you recover, you do it the PT and the AT stage.
Sure.
But, sport, allowed me to return to normalcy, right? It allowed me to return to the same life that I was living, but even better. A life that I couldn't imagine. And, the sport with the community that I've met, both before the accident, post the accident, especially, so many other challenged athletes that I've met that are just inherently motivating from their stories and their history. It's just an incredible group of people that help motivate, that challenge, that help push those boundaries. And, it's embracing, whatever hands that we're dealt with. But, I saw too many people, in rehab that it didn't have that outlet, didn't have that ability or that kind of mechanism to get them through and find a way to just kind of challenge them and I mean, not necessarily to live for, but that one piece that says, I'm back and life is going to be great, and just to do that one thing that you love, that you're passionate about. And that's what sport and the multi-sport community meant for me before, and then especially, you know, after the accident.
One of the visuals that sticks out to me is after you got that hand cycle from Challenge Athletes Foundation. I mean, it's snowy out. I can see snowbanks. And there you are out in the road. And I'm sure your buddies were like, okay, we're going to go easy here. Next thing you know, you're out of the camera frame, right? You're gone. You're down the road. And you can see the smiles on your buddy's face. It's like, oh, my God, what the hell? This guy is, he's dropping us on his first time on the hand cycle. I couldn't see you as much as I could see the other guys, but I'm imagining you were like grinning from ear to ear, just having the wind in your face again.
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, it was like 30 degrees outside, 3 feet of snow, and you know, and normally you would not be outside. You know, you'd be inside, but you know, everybody signed. I said, hey, who wants to go out for a ride? And like, first of all, I didn't have to ask anybody. Everybody knew what I was getting, and they said, hey, whenever you're ready, you just let us know. And you know, I had a half dozen people out there, and you know, again, that was another Strava segment. So here we are, you know, we're on a hand cycle now. So we got to try to, you know, take the king of the mountain versus what I used to have. But, you know, it was just being outdoors for the first time since the accident. I mean, it was one of those. And again, if I had to take the top 10, you know, big kind of key pivotal moments in my recovery, and not only for me personally, but for everybody else, that would definitely rank in the top 10 as far as, all right, this was a big milestone. I'm back outside. I'm back on my bike. I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, with all of my friends that I did this with before. But it was a great experience. And I still go over there now, and I train now over there on the racing chair and on the hand cycle. And it's just you know, a key part of my training. That's the one of the few places outside that really kind of close the traffic that I can get outside that's pretty safe.
So have you done Ironman World Championship in Kona?
Not yet. Not as of today.
So now you've done Ironman Florida in 1311. And yep. Buffalo Springs, Lubbock, yep. Texas yep. is a qualifier. Hot, windy, half Ironman, I mean 70.3. It's brutal, but that's why it's the qualifier, because you find out who the best is. When is that, and how many people qualify?
So it's on June the 24th next year,
yep.
And there's two hand cycle spots for men. And it's a qualifier for Kona, because I think it's probably, for a half, as close to Kona as you're probably possibly going to get.
Yep.
You know, so it separates the men from the boys, I guess, as they say. But, you know, being a native Texan, Lubbock's a long way away. But, you know, it's hot. It's hilly, but, you know, June the 24th is a date that's circled on my calendar, and I'm really excited and looking forward to the opportunity to go to Lubbock and Buffalo Springs and punch my ticket to Kona, since as an able-bodied athlete, I missed my Kona slot by a minute and a half at the 2012 Ironman U.S. Championships in New York City. So a little bit of redemption for that race, but no, it's going to be even sweeter this time around.
And knowing you, I know that that's not going to be the only race on the schedule leading into between now and then. What else you got going on?
Of course not.
You're like me. You got to do something all the time.
You have to, because it's fun. We love this.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's the best.
It's the best. I mean, you know, in the past, I mean, I would do races on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Just because, you know, I would incorporate it as training, and, you know, I love it. I love the people, and, you know, it's just so much fun. You know, but, you know, obviously, you know, winter's coming, and, you know, there's obviously we're limited in the things that we can do in the Northeast, you know, for now. But I'm working through and trying to plan out the schedule. I'm going to kick it off with an early season, the New Jersey Marathon in May. And, you know, I'll probably pick up another marathon, you know, early in the year, you know, in the racing chair to really hone on that, because that's the one piece that, you know, I feel I'm very confident in the hand cycle, and I've spent a lot of time, and I've been doing some really great things in the hand cycle. But I really need to work on the race chair to get that where it needs to be able to be competitive to claim one of those slots. You know, so I'm going to focus on that early in the season. And then what I'll probably do is Eagle Man, which is the second weekend in June. It's drivable. It's pretty close. So I'll probably do that as a little tune-up for Lubbock, which is two weeks following that race at Eagle Man, which is 70.3 in Maryland that I've done as an able-bodied athlete and as a challenged athlete. So it's a nice flat course, and, you know, I definitely enjoy that one, that's for sure.
So the technique of pan cycling, technique of racing chair and swimming, your body is totally different. How hard has that been? Because you, like you said, you're an accountant guy. You're also a technology guy. So learning that, how have you done? I know you've got GoPros everywhere on the hand cycle, and I'm assuming on the racing chair as well. And you're probably, you know, on the chair on rollers to get a sense of it. And learning the technique of basically, these are three sports you've done forever and were successful at it, but you're learning to do them a different way. How hard has that been?
Well, you know, for swim, you know, let me start with swimming as a order. You know, it's technically, it's the same stroke, and ideally, it would be like swimming with a pool boy, right? I mean, you just don't use your legs. But unfortunately, you know, and practically, that's not unfortunately how it works. You know, I am dragging my legs, and it's in, you know, but the problem is with my level of injury, which is T6, so it's, you know, right at the upper chest. You know, I don't have abs, so you know, if anybody knows, when you're trying to get a perfect technique and you're trying to rotate, I don't have the ability to do that.
Gotcha.
So, you know, also with that, I also cannot get a full reach and extension, you know, on each stroke. So, you know, I'm not super efficient, so it ends up becoming a little bit of a battle of trying to get good technique versus just powering through. So, you know, you do the best you can, and, you know, it's getting better and better. And, again, I was really pleased with my swim time, you know, down in Florida. But, you know, I'm continuing to work in there. I love being in the pool. It's you know, it's one of those places where, you know, I'm floating there, and I'm never the slowest one in the pool, so that's a pretty cool feeling.
Yep.
And just turning around is just not ideal, but you know, it's part of the course, and you know, it's pretty neat. But when I get to the hand cycle, obviously, you know, I haven't used arms like that before, but you know, the way we measure it, and I use the same coach I used before. I have a power meter on my front wheel, my drive wheel, just like I did on my bike before. And we really focus on power training. We focus on the numbers. We look at intervals and work sets and quality over quantity. And, you know, while I'm engaging different muscles from, you know, my lats and triceps and biceps, you know, we're really focused on similar work sets and similar data that we were before. It's just, it's tempered down a little bit to what my FTP is now, you know, with my arms versus my legs. So, you know, it's, data's there. Data is exactly the same, and you know, heart rate and all that stuff. It's just with my arms, and it's pretty cool because, you know, I've seen my trajectory of my FTP absolutely skyrocket over these last few years since I got it, obviously. And it's in no way at a spot where we're about to plateau. So going into next year, going into getting ready for Eagle Man in Lubbock and World Championships, I mean, like, you know, we still got significant room for improvement, which is, motivating in and of itself, because I think, you know, at the point where, you know, if you were to plateau, you kind of look and figure out, you know, what do you do next? But, you know, as long as, you know, you're working hard and you're continuing to improve, you know, it's just real rewarding. And then the race chair, that's to me the one that
work in progress.
It's a work in progress, and it's really different from both, because, you know, you have heart rate, but I don't necessarily have, you know, have power, and that one is more technique-driven than the other two. I mean, I guess, you know, swimming is quite technique driven as well, but you know, it's you see, you know, some of the, you know, the marathon, you know, racing chair winners, the wheelers, you know, in the marathons, and you know, especially in triathlon, I mean, their technique is so strong and so perfect, and you know, it takes time to get that down. So I'm really trying to work on that, and you know, I'm 6'2", and I'm cramming myself in a kneeling position into a race chair. It's definitely not the most comfortable, but, you know, we're working through it, and we're trying to, you know, make it as comfortable and as fast as possible. But over the winter time, myself and this racing chair are going to become really, really good friends. So it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
So as a guy who's, we see people getting hit by cars, and we see people getting paralyzed all the time, you know, and I'm assuming that people, either friends of people who've been injured or family members, have reached out to you for your help and support. What is your response? How do you help that next Glenn Hartrick?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've had quite a few people reach out, and you know, it could be in multi-sport. We see it all too often. I mean,
yeah.
You know, drivers don't pay attention, or it just could be, you know. Could just be something in the road that someone hits, or
sure.
You know, just a split second. But you know, I've had actually, you know, someone at work, you know, their son had an accident, a motocross, you know, accident. But My biggest piece of advice is obviously, you know, having that network of friends and family there is vital and critical. But one of the first things I always turn to is the Challenge Athletes Foundation. I swear to God, and you know, there are so many things and events and opportunities that this foundation does for people, you know, in such a wide range of grants for different, you know, prosthetics and sports equipment and sports expenses, that there's something for everybody. And I know it works for me, and I know it will work for so many other people. And I just, you know, I send every single person I talk to, I'm like, when the time is right, and,
yes,
and there's an open grant period, and right now is actually that time. But when the time is right, go online, take a look at it, because no matter what you do in life, right, there's something for everybody here. And just the power in that, the power of meeting my, you know, talking to myself, talking to somebody else that's gone through what you've gone through, you know, is you can't put into words. The doctors, the nurses, physical therapists, they do a tremendous job, but they don't sit in the wheelchair, right? They don't have a prosthetic, right? So talk to people that are in your same situation, your same shoes, and you know, could be how to deal with the medical bills or how to deal with when you get back home functionally, how to get back into the professional world. But for me, you know, when you're newly injured, to get back into your life, your new normal, right? This is what works for me, and I just want to be able to share that story with other people. And the Challenge Athletes Foundation was a huge part of that. And, you know, I try to lend that to anybody that's willing to listen.
So when you went to Ironman Florida, how many family members, friends, et cetera, were part of the team 2N?
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. You know, I had my partner there, and, you know, I had one of my best friends, a guy that's been to Kona twice, Jesse O'Donnell, who is the best cyclist in the state of New Jersey, hands down,
yeah,
the best cyclist. And he was there with his wife, Colleen O'Donnell. They were there. He raced the race with me, right? So he was a registered participant.
Yep.
He had his registration fee. And he was there. He swam with me after the second loop. He swam with me. And then he obviously was in the USAT rules, biked with me, and then, you know, we ran together. But this guy is the absolute best cyclist in our entire state. And, you know, we did our fair share of passing people, but, you know, his competitiveness, you know, when people were passing us that typically wouldn't be passing him, it says all world athlete on his bib and that kind of thing. And just goes to show, you know, what a great guy he is. And then just that's what the community is about, helping each other. And it was so rewarding being able to do the race with him. And it was important, too, on the run, because the run was, it got narrow in a few places, and it got dark at night, and he would yell, you know, make sure the path was clear for me to run through as it got a little narrow in places. But, you know, he was there. I had a couple other buddies that were racing. I had one of the CAF sponsors from the Northeast that's on the board there. It was one of my handlers. I had folks at the finish line. Ironman did a tremendous job, and I thank them so much for, you know, really helping me capture the moment and make it a special day for me. You know, crossing the finish line to have, you know, put my medal around my neck and just, you know, hear the name, Glenn Hartrick, you are an Ironman once again, was a really, really amazing moment for me. And just being there and seeing, you know, with my friends and my family, so where they could all soak it in, the people that were there and at the hospital from the first few hours I was there, was really remarkable. Everybody with 2N shirts on. a moment I'll just absolutely never forget.
So some of the medical folks who were there early on during your rehab and after you were injured, are they aware of what you've accomplished now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Ironman did a feature spotlight for,
yep,
kind of an athlete. And so I, you know, granted it's all on social media and I'm friends with them on social media, but for the few that aren't, the managing director at the hospital and all that, I've shared that with them, and you know, and they share it with their staff. And the pretty cool thing that, you know, that I hear is, you know, they always ask me, can I share this with new patients? Can you come talk to new patients? And I'm like, absolutely. You know, I would love to. And so, you know, they, you know, the physical therapists, the doctors, and the medical directors, they share that this story with patients. And you know, I've been back to the hospital a few times and talked to additional patients. And you know, it's tough sometimes. I mean, it's kind of the forest for the trees kind of thing. But, you know, when you're in the moment, you know, I completely understand that, you know, you're dealing with all these issues at that time when you're newly injured. You're sitting in the hospital, you're sitting in rehab, and to think 3 years down the road, if someone can tell you what you can do, but until you see it, until you talk to somebody that's actually done it, and some similar situation happened to me. There was a Paralympic hand cyclist that came and was at Kessler, and, you know, 30 years ago he had done it. And I just want to be able to give back and hopefully tell my story and hopefully encourage somebody that, you know, might not have been encouraged before to help kind of make the best life they possibly can for themselves and those people around them.
I remember when we first started chatting and you were talking about, I want to get back to Ironman. And how long did it take Mark Harriman's? Mark Harriman's was injured in, I think it was 06 or something like that. And he came back the following year to do the swim. And this guy who finished sixth overall in Kona, and he came back and just got through to swim. And then, but it took him a few years to get there. And you wanted to be that guy. You had that goal right away. I want to be the fastest guy to come back from being paralyzed after doing an able-bodied Ironman and coming back and doing in a hand cycle. You're pretty darn close.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely it's a small club, that's for sure.
Right.
But you know, Mark did it, you know, pretty quickly after, you know, his injury and accident. And I think I'm right there, right behind him. But you know, it's a small, special club of us that you probably count on a hand that you know, done an Ironman before as an able-bodied athlete, and it came back and did it again. And you know, I think from unfortunately, you know, a few other people that have been injured here recently that I've gotten to know, that there's going to be a few other people that are going to be joining that club here in the not too distant future. So,
and I love the fact there's opportunity. We had Lauren Parker out here, who was a top age group athlete in Kona, second in division 25-29 in 2015. And she was paralyzed in April of this year and started, when I had her on the radio show in July, was talking about, I want to do Ironman. Well, the cool thing is she came out here for SDTC. We got her in the pool with Alan Voisard, the swim coach, who really worked with her on her stroke. And she went back to Australia and did a couple of open water swims. And the Miles Stewart, who runs Triathlon Australia, was like, how about coming to Tokyo and potentially being on our para-triathlon team for the Paralympics in 2020. So the note I got from her yesterday was, you know what, it sounds like a heck of an opportunity, and I'll go to 2020 in Tokyo, and then every year after that, I'll do Kona.
That's unbelievable. I mean, she's obviously a heck of an athlete, you know, very accomplished, you know, before, and, you know, those Australians, I mean, they can swim. I mean, they got heck of athletes over there. I mean,
right.
And, you know, I mean, all the best to her. I mean, I've gotten to, you know, well, just a little bit, but, you know, I think she has an extremely bright future in this sport, for sure.
Well, and just having someone like you as a mentor I was sending her emails throughout your race last weekend, just saying, hey,
awesome.
This is where, look at, because everybody, the main concern when you're doing this in a hand cycle is making that bike cutoff time.
Yeah,
it's brutal. It's really hard, but which is great because it's a level playing field. There's nothing special. There's no special time. If you're in a hand cycle, you got to be done by, you know, in Kona by 5:30 in the afternoon, period. And, you know, you killed it. You went sub 7 hours after what? What was your swim?
An hour 38
and then 6:58. I mean, those are really good times for anybody.
Yeah. I was pleased. I mean, you know, I had you know, in the back of my mind, you know what I needed to do and what I wanted to do for my first goal to beat 13:48, which was my Ironman Wisconsin time, and you know set myself up for that great swim. You know really put me on that great path. But yeah, on the bike, I mean, I stayed in control and I followed kind of my structured plan, and you know, it was putting me up for that success and being able to obliterate the 13:48. I do have a lot of opportunity to improve some time on my transitions.
You think?
Yeah, no.
They were exactly, I think it was like 23:15 for both of them.
Yeah. I mean, 40 plus 45 minutes, 46 minutes in transition. I mean, you think I like took a nap.
I was going, you know? But it's a long way from the water to the transition, and you're going through sand. I mean, a lot of these races have long transition areas or long transition run-up.
Yeah, that was part of the challenge. Because I mean, I was so far to go, and you know, I'm in my wheelchair, which that doesn't move in the sand.
No.
So you know, we wanted to kind of take our time. There was a race I did in the Northeast, kind of my first race back. It was an open water swim, and I get out of the water, and I was really kind of discombobulated, and you know, I got a little lightheaded, and we just wanted to take our time and make sure that wasn't going to be an issue. So we took my wetsuit off, and then we, you know, kind of made our way up, and we just made sure that, you know, went through the checklist, made sure all the nutrition was on the bike, made sure everything was set up, Obviously, it's 82 degrees. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, so, you know, sunscreen is important.
Yep.
You know, so all those things that, you know, it's important for everybody, but we just wanted to, you know, make sure, not rush anything, and make sure we had everything, and we did. And the handlers and everybody, you know, my whole support team was remarkable, and I can't do it without them, and I can't thank them all enough.
Glenn, hey, man, we love the fact that CAF has been part of this journey. You've been amazing, great representative of the foundation, being there for anybody who ever has a question, because, like we said, it's important for street cred. Someone like yourself, you've just done the Ironman. You immediately got into a hand cycle and into a racing chair, and you've gone through it. It's still fresh. You're the best person to talk to somebody who's newly injured.
No, I agree, and I want to be able to share my story and, you know, and help whoever I can, if it's a young kid, if it's an adult, if,
right,
you know, whoever it is, you know, because there are tough times, and, you know, it's important to know that, you know, you can professionally, personally, you know, athletically, you know, the opportunities are endless, and I'm telling you, I mean, I'm having a great time, you know, with all three. It's like the trifecta, or, you know, we'll play on my name, we'll use it a hat trick, you know?
Yes.
But it's, you know, people have just been great. But, you know, you gotta embrace it. You gotta put yourself out there. You gotta challenge yourself. And people will respond very favorably to that. And, you know, that's what's great about just, you know, the world. And it kind of that part shows you the good in the human race and humankind. And, you know, and I'm just so thankful that people have embraced me. And, you know, and I try to embrace them. And, you know, and I'm there to support them and follow along on Ironman Tractor and Marathon Day and, you know, and work and everything else in life. But, you know, you kind of get what you put out. You get back what you put into it. And, you know, I try to kind of use that mentality, you know, throughout everything that I do.
Love it. Glenn Hartrick has been our guest, an Ironman finisher once again. I love that Dave Ragsdale was able to come up with that. That's pretty cool. Once again, that is very cool. Glenn, thank you, buddy, for taking time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, as always.
All right. Glenn Hartrick has been our guest, Double N, a Tough Man Triathlon Series. Check them out online at toughmantri.com, velofix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, runcatalina.com, the home of the Catalina Eco and the Catalina Marathon, ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, our Challenged Athletes Foundation, which was very instrumental in where Glenn is at right now. Last year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. You can go to donatecaf.org to help out. Again, we're brought to you every single weekend by all of our amazing sponsors. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.